welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of, so we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
So the Holy Spirit speaking this morning, I would urge you to lean in. Don't listen to me. My voice gets too high. Lean in and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say for you. There's something here for you this morning, so I'm going to preach this message. The title was The Gain in the Give Up. So I'm going to set the precedence for this. Nick already started that this morning in talking about the laying of the down, but I'm going to just set the precedence for this message. We're going to find it in Romans 3:23, which reads, it's a verse here in the Bible that we've all heard. Some of you may have heard this before you even gave your life to Jesus. This might be the reason why you gave your life to Jesus. Here it is. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Other translations in your Bible you might read, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm going to break this and explore this verse a little bit, because that word fallen short or all have sinned, in the Greek it's hamatano, but in Hebrew it's explained as chata. And this particular verse, or that this word in this verse, means to miss the mark. So there was a mark there that was supposed to hit and it's been missed. But we're only looking at one side of this verse. This came out in our life group this week and revelation just hit me. Because when we think about all have fallen short and missed the mark of the glory of God, we think about our naughty list. We think about what we've done wrong. Oh God, I missed it in this way. Oh, I didn't do that. I know you asked this of me and I fell short. And we think of this nice big long list of all of the ways that we disappoint God. It's half of the verse. We're missing this whole other side, because it talks about that we are missing. I want you to think about an Olympian game. Like an archer. Let's think about an archer where they go and they, you know, do that bow and arrow thing and they go to hit the mark, but they miss it. They haven't just missed the mark, they have missed getting that big gold, you know, what do you call that? The medal. They miss the big gold medal that goes around their head. They miss getting up on that platform, you know, with their fellow teammates, and they miss the anthem being sung. They miss the celebration. They miss all that came. They miss their nation cheering them on and the big crowds of people when they get off the plane to go, yes, I've represented my nation. They missed all that came when they were going to hit that mark. So when we're talking about falling short, it's not just, oh, dang, I've done it again, I've done this thing. It's not about what you haven't done it as much as it is you're missing out on all of God has for you. You're missing out on this perfect, power-filled, amazing life that He has for you to walk through. So it's about what we're missing. In Matthew 16:25. There's a scripture that says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Find what? Find what? Think this through. If you've found something, it means that before you found it, it was missing from your life. I'm hoping that you're catching this morning, because Jesus came to forgive our sins and to, you know, reconcile us back into relationship with God, but that was just the start. There's so much more in His kingdom. There's a power and there is an authority and there's a presence that He has designed for us to tap into and start walking into. Before the world fell into sin, it was perfect. The supernatural and the natural, they actually coexisted. It was literally an open heaven. Relationships were perfect. No one hurt each other. No one had anything to prove. There was no insecurity. People were secure. Didn't walk around with insecurities. It was safe. that no harm came to anybody. There was no fear of harm for anybody. It's perfect health, perfectly sound mind. And you might be saying, look, Rachel, you're talking or explaining about a world that I don't think ever existed, but according to the word of God, this was the world before sin entered. This is what it was like. And then sin entered the world. That world, that perfect world, still exists. It's just in a different realm. We've just got a few more years, maybe, some of us longer than others, before we get there in heaven. And you and I, we are stuck here in this realm, in the middle. And so whilst we're here in this realm, there are still things missing. We still live in a broken world. So yes, Jesus came and he saved our sin and he's restored us back into relationship with Father. We have the hope and the joy and the expectation to go to that perfect place again. And you and I are here in the middle, in this realm. But here's the good news for you this morning. Because I read in my Bible, in Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on
earth.
On where?
Earth.
On earth, as it is in heaven, in this realm, in this experience, in this life. And so there are things that are missing that we have yet to tap into and walk into. He didn't just come to forgive our sins. He came so that we could walk in the fullness of his power, in the fullness of his authority, in the fullness of his freedom. There's a story that John was letting me know. I'm pretty sure it didn't happen in Australia because it would never get through our customs. But this was a story of a family who someone paid for them to go on a cruise. And they were a poor family. They were not of means. The thing is that they didn't have any money, and so whilst they were super grateful that they were, that their cruise was paid for, their ticket was paid, they went, oh, we don't have any money to purchase food. Who here has been on a cruise before? Isn't it the best? Actually the best. So they didn't realise that all of the food was for free. So this family, this is a true story, this family actually smuggled up, they had bread in their bags that they brought on, and they stayed in their rooms behind closed doors and ate bread because they're watching everyone else celebrate and eat all of this marvelous food. And it wasn't until the third day that someone kind of got wind and they had a conversation. They went, you know, all of the food is free. They went, what? And went out and then were able to enjoy the fullness of what that cruise had to offer. Because this is like you and I. The ticket's been paid. The price has been paid. We have the ticket. We're going to heaven. We have the ticket. Your sin has been paid for. We have the ticket. There's no condemnation in Christ. Every wrong thing you've ever done is covered under the blood. But oh, there's so much more for you to partake of and enjoy in the kingdom of God. So sometimes I think people view God as sitting on this big seat up in heaven. You missed that again. Oh, you know. He's not sitting up there so disappointed by what you do. He's sitting up there going, come on, I've made this amazing life. I've got all of this for you. Would you just start tapping into the power and the glory that I want to see operating in your life? You've no idea what I've got for you. Come closer. Come in. Come to start laying it down. Because there's one way that I know how to start accessing this power that he intended you for you, and it's the power of the lay down. It's the power of the give up. It's the power of the surrender. There is gain in the give up. It's why Pastor Graham always says when he gets up here, and I know I can feel some of you back here when he goes to say this, you almost roll your eyes and go, here we go again. Today my heart is open, my ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name and never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're like, oh, here we go again. You know why he says that? Because he's your pastor and he cares about you, and he understands that growth and change is the evidence of the power of Christ being outworked in your life. So let's have a look at this verse in Matthew 16, 25. It says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There is a key here. If we want to experience the fullness of what God has, it comes with giving up our life. It comes with laying down our life. It comes with losing it. And then we will find it. In Matthew 5, 3-6, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Mind if I get a bit teachy this morning? Okay, here we go. We're going to look at this word poor. Because when we look at the word poor, you might want to have a look at that in the Greek, but we're going to go one step further and actually have a look at it in Aramaic Hebrew. Aramaic Hebrew was the language that was often spoken by the Jews around Jesus' time. And we believe that it was actually the language that Jesus was speaking when he gave this Sermon on the Mount, otherwise known as the Beatitudes. So even Mel Gibson, when he did that movie, The Passion of the Christ, he had them speak in Aramaic Hebrew. So are we all keen to know what it says in Aramaic Hebrew? Here it is. It might be up on the screen. It says, Miskana. This means, so to become poor is one who voluntarily gives up material things or things of the world for a spiritual benefit. I'm going to say that again. It's one, so to become poor, Jesus is like, blessed are the poor, one who voluntarily gives up material things, and not just material things, who gives up those things that he's asking for a spiritual benefit. It's giving up something to make yourself poorer. Poorer in the sense of, it might make you a little bit sad at first to give it up. It might hurt a little bit to give it up. It might go, ouch, I feel a little bit poorer for giving this thing up. But the promise is the gain. The promise is the kingdom of heaven. And if you want to have a look, I added this morning because I got so excited. Okay, the kingdom of heaven in Aramaic Hebrew. Do you want to know what that is? It's the secrets of heaven. So when we give something up, it's like you unlock something in heaven. You unlock something of the secrets of heaven. You start to unlock heaven in your world, in your life. When he presses a button and goes, excuse me, the Holy Spirit's so gentle, and sometimes that squeeze gets a little bit harder and harder and harder, and it's not because he hates you. The Holy Spirit doesn't hate you, but he's trying to get something to you. TJ touched on this morning. He doesn't ask for money because he hates you. He's trying to get something to you. He's trying to get the benefits of the kingdom of God to you. This is supported in Matthew 18:18, where it reads, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on will be loosed in heaven." Which one comes first? Earth or heaven? Earth. So when we give up something on earth, when we give up something in this realm, it cracks something in heaven into your life. There's got to be a give up moment on earth. A give up, a sacrifice, an ouch, God, do you really need that? I like that, Lord. I want this. Why ask for that thing? I like this drink. I like this addiction. I like how it makes me feel. I'm right in my attitude. I'm justified in it. Don't you know what they did? I'm good to stay with this little bit of bitterness. I know you died for my sin, but oh, I want to hold them accountable. We have to give up something. You've been carrying hurt around your whole life. It is my whole life. I am this person because of my hurt. But you could be so much more if you just start to give it to Jesus. Start to lay it down. Start the healing process. What's on the other side? What are you missing? What are you missing? You know, it's interesting with drug addicts. One of their biggest fears is that when they give up the drugs, that life will be boring on the other side. They're like, oh no, I really, really like this. I can't imagine my life without this. And you can look at a hardcore drug core, and it's frustrating for us because we're like, you are missing out on everything. You're missing out on relationships. You're missing out on your family. You're missing out on finances. You're missing your teeth, honey. Like, you don't have a roof over your head. You don't have a career. You don't have a gift that you're growing in. You're missing on everything. And so it's frustrating for us. We sit here and go, we want all of this for you, but the fear factor kicks in and goes, oh, but I don't know. I'm so used to it here. I like this world. I don't want to lay this down. It's easy to see for us on the other side and go, come on. But it's actually a step of faith. You've got to step in and start the give up. If you want the gain, you've got to start the give up. Oh, he wants it for you. I've totally gone off track. I've lost where I am in my notes. What's the Holy Spirit pressing on this morning? Let's just take a moment and pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray even in this moment that you would just to begin to highlight the areas in our life, Lord God, that you're asking us to give up, that you're asking us to lay down. Thank you, Jesus. What's he pressing on? There are things in your life that are missing that he wants to get to you. What's the give up? He wants to see you walking in power. What's the price? And are you willing to pay it? It might be for some in here, it might be in your attitude or behavior. Just depress. For some of you, it might be time to let go of that hurt. You could have been carrying it for 50 years. It might be time to start that healing journey. For others, it might simply be a material thing, something that's actually going to cost you, something that sort of takes a little bit more importance, like oh God, I don't want to give you that. For others, it might just be something here that he's asking you to give up. Maybe a habit. Maybe something in your world that you really just love to do. Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit. Some of you here are like, no, I hate this preach. I'm not asking anything. He might just answer. He might just answer. What's on the other side of that answer? What are you missing out on? It would be a tragedy if someone paid for you to go on a cruise and you went on it and enjoyed the views but missed all of the benefits, just showed up, stepped on the deck, and that was it, standing there with your bags intact, and you missed everything that was there and provided for you. He doesn't do it because he hates you. He's trying to get something to you. I'm going to read through a list of when you step out in faith and you start to hand these things over, these are some of the things that you can expect on the other side. You can actually expect to walk in power. You can start to walk in authority. Have you been one of those people where you walk around and you see someone and they're like all up in their confidence and they're amazing and people listen to them? And they do what they love. God wants this for you. He wants you to be that guy. He wants you to be the person that you've always admired in other people. He has all of this for you. He wants you to experience his provision. You'll start to thrive in relationships, in all your relationships. To experience inward strength, resilient, where nothing's going to move you, nothing's going to shake you. You'll start to experience a sound mind. Some of you don't actually even know what that's like yet. That's on the other side of the give up. A sound mind. Confidence. No insecurity, pure confidence. Understanding of God's word, so you're not walking in this double-mindedness. Oh, I don't know, I think the Bible means this, I'm not sure. No, there'll be a clarity of God's word centered in your heart that brings about truth, where you walk in truth and assurance of what it says, a confidence in his understanding. These are the things on the other side of the give up. You will have the power to love unconditionally. You know how people press your buttons? You have buttons. I've got a couple of buttons. When you press it, you know, outcomes are different, Rachel. Sometimes we've got buttons. Can you imagine being that person where you just don't have buttons? Because the love and the mercy of God you are so full of, it just begins to flow out of you. It's possible. You're like, this is impossible. It's possible. All things are possible. Even these things. It's often the little things. You have the power to actually walk in faith, in expectation of his presence, to make demands on heaven, to have an expectation of his power. You will possess the power to overcome. Someone needs to hear that this morning. You will start to possess, as you start to give up, as you start to hand it over, as you start to release it on earth, it's not all of it, as you start to hand that little bit over, he will give you the power to overcome. This is on the other side of the give up. You will start to experience, we will start to experience the miraculous flowing through us, where signs and wonders actually begin to follow us. There's gain in the give up. Actually, musos, can you come up, please? Has anyone ever had someone walk past them in the hope that their shadow, your shadow, would catch them so that they would be healed? This happened in the Bible with Peter. It says that people would line up the streets in the hope that when he walked past them, that his shadow would heal them, because he was so full of the power, he was so full of the presence of God, he was so full of it that his shadow would pass over people and they would be healed. You might be sitting here going, I don't really think this message applies to me. I've been a Christian a long time. I don't really have anything left to give up. No? Was that your experience this week? Anyone? And I'm sitting here almost waiting for an answer, because I'll be honest with you, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for us as a church to hit those levels. I'm waiting for the power of God. We're actually starting to scratch something. I don't know if you realize this, but with our prayer meetings, our all-night prayer meetings, which is tonight, starts at 5 p.m., we're going through till 6 a.m. tomorrow. So if you can carve out 2-3 hours of your night, come here and pray. We will be here all night praying. Did you know that when we started this, it was last month, there have been people in our auditorium for 3 weeks in a row coming to our pastors saying, I heard something in the worship. It wasn't from this realm. I heard heaven's music. And some of these weeks, it wasn't one person, it was three coming to go, we heard something. Guys, we're on the verge of something. We're actually doing the give up and we're cracking something in heaven. This isn't a fairy tale. This is real. This is the power of God that's actually being made available. Don't miss this. Don't miss the season that we're in. Have a really good look around at the world. Jesus is coming back. We've got to start to lay it down. And it's not going to happen instantaneously. Some of you here might just be a bit discouraged, going, I tried. I tried to give that up and it didn't work. I've tried to think nicely about that person. I've tried this. It's not an instantaneous journey. We're going to have a look at one more scripture here in this message. In Deuteronomy 7:22, it said, "The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or else the wild animals will come and multiply around you." So what's happening here is that the Israelites are about to take the promised land. And God comes in and says to them, guys, I'm giving you this land. Yes, you have to conquer it. Yes, you have to go and take it, but take it a little bit at a time. Because if you try and do it all at once, all of these beasts of the animals, they're going to come and overtake you, and you're not going to win at this. You're going to get overwhelmed. So God's patient. He doesn't need it to happen instantaneously, but who knows that when you start to conquer, when you start to take, when you start to release, when you start to lay down, when you start the process, that his power begins to take hold, that his power begins to take root, and all of a sudden you've conquered this suburb, and then all of a sudden you've conquered this area, and all of a sudden you've conquered this sin, all of a sudden you've conquered this attitude, all of a sudden you're walking in the power, in the authority, in the glory, in the ministry, in the mantle that he's called you to. There's more for all of us here. For all of us here. But don't despise the little things. What's that little thing? That little fox? That little sin, as Solomon describes it, has the potential to ruin the whole vine. What's that little thing that he's pressing on? We're supposed to gain. We're supposed to experience all that he has for us. The cost for us is in the give up and in the lay down. I'm going to finish this morning with this prayer. If you want to bring up that scripture, you can pray through this with the screen if you want to, while I pray for you. And before I do, maybe hold that thing in your heart. Nick already led us in that moment this morning, but that thing that he's pressing on, that thing that you know he's speaking to you about, and just hold it there while I just pray for you. In Ephesians 1:17, this is Paul actually speaking, and he's praying for the church. And he reads, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I pray that give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." And in this moment, God, I pray that you begin to reveal to people right now, what is that little sin, Lord? What's that little fox? What's that little attitude, Lord God, that needs to be laid down? Holy Spirit, I pray this be you. I pray you breathe this revelation in the knowledge of who you are, Lord God. I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, God. Awaken us to what you are asking of us. Awaken us to what you are leading us into, God, that we may know, Father, the hope of your calling. Awaken us to know what is on the other side, Lord. Awaken us in faith. Awaken us in hope. Awaken us, Lord God, to the potential of all that you have for us. What are the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, in us, Lord? Father, I thank you for your riches and your glory and your inheritance that in us, God. I pray that we walk in it, Lord, that we walk in your freedom, that we walk in your power, that we walk in your goodness. And what is exceeding greatness of your power toward us, toward you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen. I hope you caught something this morning. I pray you head out of this place and start to lay this thing down, start to work with the Holy Spirit.